Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. God bless you. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing some thoughts on the covenant of relationship, how God is building His church, how He is working to achieve His eternal aims, the fulfillment of His own desires, His own plans that He had in His heart before the worlds were. God desires fellowship. He was perfectly content in the triune existence and fellowship that they experienced together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They had need of nothing, and yet because God is love, it's just in the very nature of love to want to share. If you love someone, you love your children, you love your spouse, you love your boyfriend or girlfriend, or a friend, you want to express love to them. And how do you do that? There's many ways you can do it. But you give, whether it's your time, material things, gifts, you do things to express how much you care and appreciate them, care for them, appreciate them. And so God desires to do that. And because of who He is, because He is a covenant-keeping God, we need to understand that God's kingdom is advanced through covenant. Now, let's look at God's covenant with us. That very word covenant, by definition, means a formal, solemn, binding agreement between two parties. And I won't take the time, but you can do much teaching on the principles of covenant. As we see that outlined in the Old Testament, there is a solemn agreement that God made, for example, with Abraham. And He determined that His word was going to be fulfilled, and those things that He spoke to Abraham are yet to be fulfilled in fullness, in completion. That will be accomplished in terms of the people of Israel in the millennial kingdom. But God is not a liar. He has a timetable. In the fullness of time, the scriptures tell us, Jesus was born. It wasn't an accident. It just didn't occur. God specifically ordained the moment of His birth. And now I'd like to share something, a passage of scripture found in John the 13th chapter. And I want to read verses 5 through 10. And this is an expression, sort of a prophetic expression, of the covenant that the Lord desires to have with His people. And this, in terms of timing, was at what we call the Last Supper. And in verse 4, He, Jesus, riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And can't you imagine the disciples were wondering, what is He doing? He comes to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Well, let me read verse 5. I skipped over that. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel where He was girded. Anyway, bless Peter. Don't you love Peter? Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Do you intend to do this? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You don't realize what I'm expressing here, but you will. In a future time, you will understand the purpose and the significance of what I'm doing right now. And then, of course, Simon, don't you just love him? He said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He wanted everything. He wanted the whole works. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed or cleansed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore He said, Ye are not all clean. And, of course, He was referencing Judas, who betrayed Him. So Basically, what we see here is Jesus is expressing in a very beautiful way a servant's heart, that if we are indeed in covenant relationship with God, then we will have his nature and character. And we know throughout the Gospels, it's very clear. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to be a servant. And he became the ultimate servant. He was a bondservant to his Father. He laid down his very life. It's amazing. Everything we're tested with, beloved, I don't care if you're dealing with depression or oppression or envy or jealousy or whatever possible thing you could be tempted in. If I understand the word correctly, the word says that Jesus was tested or tempted in all points as we are. Temptation, beloved, is not a sin. Lustful thoughts, if they come into your heart and mind, they're not a sin. It's once you recognize whatever that thought is, it's what you do with them. And of course, Jesus was a perfect example. He was a perfect man, a perfect human being, because when he was tested, those serious, extraordinary testings that he had when he was fasting in the wilderness, he could have accomplished all of God's apparent purposes. Satan said, you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. And Satan had the right to do that. He could have spared himself all the trouble. He hadn't even begun his ministry yet. And he could have said, you know what, that's really what I'm after, and this would be an easy way to do it. He did not sin. And so, beloved, be encouraged today. Whatever's coming against you, however you're being tested, it's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through. And so, it's a fearful thing. There are those who play around with the things of God. They, like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, he called them whitewashed sepulchres. He called them, they were of their father, the devil. There are those who have religious spirits that unless you have the spirit of God, the spirit of discernment, they sound good, but you had better discern what is in their hearts, because there are some group of people, it's fearful, it always just chills my soul, where Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Beloved, God wants a family relationship with us. Remember the prodigal son? That's the heart of the father, how he looked for his son. And then when there was a returning of his repentant son, he realized that even though he had greatly insulted his father, especially in that era, that day, to ask for his inheritance, which is only given after a father dies, it was a terrible statement, a total lack of appreciation. Of course, even the elder son fussed at the father and said, yeah, look what I've done, offer you. I've never done what he did, and you've never given me a party or a fatted calf. We are so human, and God is wanting us to rise higher and understand that God desires and has a covenant with us. All those who have accepted Jesus, we are in covenant relationship. And our relationship with Jesus depends on the veracity of his word, and the blessings we experience depend on the veracity of our word to him. This is hereby we know we have the love of God if we do what he says. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Good relationships, beloved, hear me now, depend upon acceptance of one another. And as far as our relationships with one another, not necessarily agreement with one another. And as we look at human relationships, there's so much trouble, so much strife and division, even in the church, because we don't recognize the difference between agreement and acceptance. Beloved, we are all choice makers. We all have free will. God will never transgress the free will of man. Now, there's some positive aspects of disagreement. It keeps us from getting too comfortable with our own personal narrow perspective. I have to present a balanced picture. I have to present the whole truth. And we might have several attitudes, like as we look at others, we might presume that others may need us to correct them. Or we also may assume that we never need correcting, because we're walking in all truth. Beloved, the attitudes I just shared, both of those positions, assign ourselves to an omniscience belonging only to God. Let us never think, when we go to correct someone, that we've got the whole picture, because, you know, only God knows the heart. Are we to go to a brother that's fallen or that's in sin? Yes, but we do it with a spirit of humility. We do it with an entreating heart, in love, knowing that he that thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. So we must do it in the spirit of love, as the Holy Spirit so gently deals with us. He never condemns us. You might have blown it so badly. You might have just fallen flat on your face. You might have done something you said you would never do. Beloved, the Spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. Don't you ever point a finger at someone and say, isn't that terrible? I never do something like that. Oh, really? There but for the grace of God. Go you. Beloved, let us never stand in spiritual haughtiness and pride, thinking we can put everybody else in order. And then also, on the other hand, let us not think that we ourselves don't stand in need of correction. And the fact is, if we will allow the Holy Spirit, if we will allow the Word of God to correct us, if we will judge ourselves, the Scriptures tell us we won't be judged. In other words, God won't have to use sterner methods to get through to us, because we are sensitive to His dealings. You know what? I once preached a message, stop kicking, because that's what Saul was doing. He kicked against the pricks. It finally took God knocking him off of his horse on the way to Damascus to finally get his attention and to blind him for 3 days. He knew his destiny for Saul, and he had to get his attention in a rather harsh and dramatic way. Beloved, let's not be that way. Let's be open to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Remember 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, "For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Well, I could go on and on, but I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow, and with the Lord's help, we may finish this message. I invite you to join me. If at any time you miss a broadcast, just go to unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. God bless you. I love you. Share your prayer requests. I'd love to hear from you. The announcer will give that information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.